Fra Haligastrium was introduced to say a few words on behalf of the Adharian chapter. He tried to talk about what I had mentioned to Dath earlier and bungled it even worse. He was the funniest man in the world if you just walked up to him and asked him a question, but he was helpless when given the opportunity to prepare, and the sporadic alarms of the Jijas shattered his concentration and reduced his talk to a heap of shards. The only shard that lodged in my memory was his concluding line,
"If this all seems ambiguous, that's because it is, and if that troubles you, you'd hate it here. But if it gives you a feeling of relief, then you are in the right place and might consider staying."
Next up was Corlandon for the new circled chapter.
"I've been with my family the last 10 days, he announced, and smiled over at a table of burghers who smiled back at him. "They were kind enough to organize a family reunion during Appert. All of them have busy lives out there, just as I do in here, but for these days we suspended our routines, our careers, and our other commitments so that we could be together."
"Myself, I've been out watching Spieleys," Orlo remarked. Only about 5 of us could hear him. "Ones with plenty of explosions. Some are quite enjoyable."
Corlandon continued.
"Making dinner, normally a routine chore we perform to avoid starvation, became something altogether different. The pattern of cuts my Aunt Prynne made in the top crust of a pie was not just a system of vents to relieve internal pressure, but a sort of ritual going back who knows how many generations. An invocation, if you will, of her ancestors who did it the same way. The conversations we had about, say, when Grandpa Mert fell off of his porch roof while cleaning the gutters were not just debriefings about the hazards of home renovation, but celebrations, full of laughter, tears, and sometimes laughter and tears at the same time, of how much we loved each other. So you could say that nothing was about what it superficially seemed to be about, which in another context might make it sound all just a bit sinister. But obviously it was nothing of the kind.
We all got it. You'd have gotten it too. And that's a lot like what we Fras and Sures do in this consent all the time. Thank you." And Corlandon sat down. Slightly indignant murmuring from Avout, not at all certain that they agreed with him, was drowned out by applause from the majority of visitors. Poor Sewer Franling had to get up next and say a few words for the reformed old Fanians, but she could have been reading from an economic database for all anyone cared. Most of the Avout were peeved by Corlandon's eloquence or glibness, and Orlo was among them. But to his credit, he pointed out that Corlandon had smoothed over an awkward moment and probably won us some sympathy extramuros.
"How do you know when someone is really glib?" Jezri muttered to me.
"I'll bite. How?"
"It doesn't cross your mind that he's glib until someone older and wiser points it out, and then your face turns hot with shame."
More music then, as most of us Avout got up to clear plates and fetch dessert. The entertainment, which earlier had been so intimidating, had become a little easier to enjoy. Many of the carols traditionally played over loudspeakers in stores and elevators at this time of year were derived from liturgical music that had originated in the Maths and filtered out at Appert. And so many of the visitors were pleasantly surprised to hear familiar melodies spilling from the lips of these bolt-wrapped weirdos. Dessert was sheet cakes baked and served in broad trays. One of them ended up in front of Arcibald. Not a coincidence. He picked up the spatula that had arrived with it, a flat metal blade about the size of the palm of a child's hand. Just before he plunged it into the cake, I had an idea and stopped him.
"Let's have Dath do it," I said.
"As hosts, it is our duty to serve," Arcibald demurred.
"Then you can serve."
"But I want Dath to do the cutting," I insisted.
I wrenched the spatula from Arcibald's grip and handed it across to Dath, who took it a little uncertainly. I then talked him through cutting the cake, but I had him go about it in a very specific way, working through the steps of an old geometry proof that Orlo had taught me when I had been a brand new Fid, up all night crying because I missed my old life. This took a little while, but when all was said and done, it was clear from the look on Dath's face that he understood it, and I was able to tell him,
"Congratulations!
You've just worked out a geometric proof that is thousands of years old.
They had sheet cakes back then?
No. But they had land and other things they needed to measure, and the same trick works for those things, too.
Uh-huh,
Death said, gobbling a vertex from his serving. You say uh-huh like it is not a big deal, but it is a big deal to us, I said. Why should a proof that works for sheet cake work as well for a plot of land? Cake and land are different things. We had gone a little over the head of Death, who just wanted to eat his cake, but Cord saw it. I guess I have an unfair advantage here since I spend so much time thinking about geometry in my work, but the answer is that geometry is, well, geometry. It's pure. It doesn't matter what you're applying it to. And it turns out that the same is true for other kinds of theorics besides geometry, I said. You can prove something. Later, the same thing might be proved in a totally different way, but you always end up with the same answer. No matter who is discussing these proofs and what age, whether they are speaking of sheet cake or pasture land, they always arrive at the same answer. These truths seem to come out of another world or plane of existence. It's hard not to believe that this other world really exists in some sense, not just in our imaginations. And we would like to go there.
Preferably without having to die first, Arcibald put in.
When I'm cutting apart, sometimes I get obsessed with it, Cord said. I lie awake in my bed, thinking about its shape. Is that perhaps related to how you all feel about what you study?
Why not? You're carrying this geometry around in your head that fascinates you. Some would say it's only a pattern of neurons firing in your brain, but it has an independent reality. And for you, thinking about that reality is an interesting and rewarding way to spend your life.